My name is Scooter, and you're listening to The Inner Side, produced at KPFT Houston, for as long as we can get away with it. Shouting out to Free Radio Santa Cruz, RadioForAll.net, LPFM, Micropower, and community radio stations worldwide. This is an Inner Side inaugumentary coronation special. We'll continue Mark Twain's Mysterious Stranger next week, but we did have to take a break to bestow our blessings and honor the Empire. Today marks the beginning of another four-year free ride for political satire. It's like a welfare state for smartasses. So let's begin by checking in with this morning's coronation ceremony.
President Cheney.
Hallelujah.
Mr. Justice.
Hallelujah.
Members of the United States.
Hallelujah.
Congress. Reverend clergy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Distinguished guests.
Hallelujah.
Fellow citizens. On this day, I am grateful for the consequential times you have witnessed.
Hallelujah.
At this second coming.
Hallelujah.
I have sworn to defend the shipwreck of tyranny.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Defined by the resentment, hatred, and murder. We have seen the vulnerability of the world, and we will gather and multiply in destructive power.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And cross the most defended borders and raise a mortal threat.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
There is only one force of history. We are led
hallelujah, hallelujah,
by events
hallelujah,
and common
hallelujah,
sense
hallelujah,
to one conclusion.
Hallelujah,
the best
hallelujah,
hope for our world
hallelujah,
is the expansion
hallelujah,
of America's vital interests and our deepest
hallelujah,
beliefs. From the day of our founding, we have claimed this earth because we bear the image of the Maker of heaven and earth. America in this century is fit to be a master. Our enemies deserve to be slaves. Advancing these ideals is the mission that created our nation. It is the honorable achievement of our fathers. Now it is the calling of our time. So it is the policy of the United States to seek institutions in every nation and culture with the ultimate goal of tyranny.
And he shall reign forever and ever, forever and ever, and he shall reign forever and ever, King of kings.
The great objective of tyranny is the concentrated work of generations. The difficulty of the task is no excuse for avoiding it. America's influence is unlimited. Unfortunately for the oppressed, America's influence is considerable, and we will use it confidently. We will persistently clarify the choice before every ruler in every nation. Choice between oppression and death. America will pretend that jailed dissidents prefer their chains, that women welcome humiliation and servitude. We go forward with complete confidence in triumph because history runs on the wheels of inevitability. We consider ourselves a chosen nation. God moves and chooses
hallelujah,
as He wills.
Hallelujah.
When our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. History has an ebb and flow of tyranny. A visible direction. When the Liberty Bell was sounded in celebration, A witness said it rang as if it meant something. In our time, it means something still. America in this century claims all the world and all the inhabitants thereof. God bless you.
Thanks, Bruce. It's not just Bush we have to worry about, as you know. W surrounds himself with people that make him look like Mahatma Gandhi. Now, homeboy Roberto Gonzalez, from right down the road here, he's, let's face it, I mean, anybody is better than Ashcroft. Ashcroft is like right out of Birth of a Nation. But if you manage to get yourself in a jam and you see Roberto coming towards you with some electrodes, he's probably not going to be hooking you up to your lawyer. So let's go back and check out the Senate rubber stamp ceremony from a couple of weeks ago.
Judge Gonzalez, you have 1 minute to respond.
I don't have specific recollection. I read the same article. I don't know whether or not it was CIA. What I can say is that the decision by the president as to that the fact that Geneva would not apply was not just based upon my judgment. That was the considered judgment of the Department of Justice. My judgment was, based on just reading the words of the Geneva Conventions, is that it would not apply. It would limit our ability to solicit information from detainees. It would require us to treat detainees humanely, consistent with the principles of Geneva. The violent physical abuse and sexual abuse from Guantanamo to Afghanistan and then into Iraq. This was simply people having fun. What you see in the pictures is people trying to have fun.
Thank you, Judge. The chair recognizes Senator SpongeBob SquarePants.
What is Senator? Fun? Those things aren't what fun is all about. Now, do it like this. F is for friends who do stuff.
Never!
I think there wasn't adequate supervision, there wasn't adequate training about what the limits were with respect to torture.
That's completely idiotic.
Here, let me help you. F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. Try it!
N is for anywhere at any time at all.
Down here in the deep blue sea.
So there was some confusion about what were the appropriate standards to use in connection with interrogations and in connection with the torture. And perhaps I misspoke in describing how I would engage in torture, how I would torture the Muslims around the world every day.
F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me.
Unlike other countries, we talk about Geneva. We're very serious about our commitments, our legal obligations in Iraq. And if people have done things that they shouldn't have done, they are going to be tortured.
Plankton, those things aren't what fun is all about.
And I think that one of my goals should be to educate and inform this committee and the American people about what the department is doing and why we're doing it and why what we're doing is, in fact, lawful. And the president has made clear that he condemns conduct by the American people not consistent with his policies. The Department of Justice is somewhat unique from other agencies. I'm not sure that an attorney general can afford to focus in providing justice for all Americans. I think cooperation, not just with state and locals, I think there needs to be greater cooperation within the department itself. There needs to be more sharing of information in order to maximize efficiencies that are possibly there. After this war began, against this new kind of threat, this new kind of enemy, we realized that there was a premium on receiving information. In many ways, this war on terror is a war about information. If we have information, we can defeat the enemy. If we have information, We can defeat civil rights. We can defeat voting rights. We can defeat civil liberties. We can torture and abuse all Americans. What we're doing is, in fact, lawful.
Abu Ghraib.
What you see in the pictures is people trying to have fun. The violent physical abuse and sexual abuse, this was simply people having fun. Guantanamo to Afghanistan and then into Iraq. This was simply people having fun.
I was making a broader point, Senator, which is that the Geneva Conventions should not be extended.
People having fun. Having fun. Having fun. Fun. Fun.
Move. Abu Ghraib. 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 Abu Ghraib.
And this is a different kind of war, and these are combatants.
You said
the president signed.
No, no, you're not listening to the question.
We have information. We can defeat the American people. Having fun, fun, fun. Simply people having fun, fun, fun. Fun, fun, fun.
Boom.
Fun, fun, fun.
Boom. Rib.
Fun, fun, fun.
Abu Ghraib. Abu.
Hey, that was fun. Condoleezza Rice. What can you say?
And people are dead and dying, and it's very serious. And as much as I want to look ahead, and we will work together on a myriad of issues, it's hard for me to let go of this war because people are still dying, and you have not laid out an exit strategy, and you don't seem to be willing to A, admit a mistake, or give any indication of what you're going to do to forcefully involve others. I am deeply troubled.
I am more than aware of the stakes, and I would hope that we can have this conversation and discuss what happened before and what went on before and what I said without impugning my credibility or my integrity.
No!
September 11th, 2001 was a defining moment for our nation and for the world. Under the vision and leadership of President Bush, our nation has risen to meet our time, fighting tyranny and securing the blessings for a new generation. A balance of power in the world that favors American diplomacy to help create the time for now. I am humbled by the great work of leading American diplomacy at such a moment in President Bush's confidence in me to undertake behind American foreign policy, is to support our friends. It is a time to reflect on this challenge, and I do so humbly.
And my first question is, did your outfit write a report suggesting how many military forces would be needed in Iraq?
4 years ago, Secretary Powell addressed this committee for the same purpose that I do now. Then as now, I would hope that we can have this conversation and discuss what happened before and what went on before and what I said without impugning my credibility or my integrity.
Will that mean that the 150,000 or so American troops we have there today will now be refocused on acceleration of training? Or what does this mean in the way of actually accomplishing what you were talking about?
Well, we're certainly right now very focused on security for the election. Senator, I have to say, I would hope that we can have this conversation without despair in what I said.
No!
I want to pursue, to some extent, some of the same line of questioning on the same subject, as well as other subjects.
Senator, we can have this discussion in any way that you would like, but I really hope that you will refrain from impugning my war.
No!
I heard this from American military personnel, Dr. Rice, not from foreigners, but our own personnel worried. We're placing so much emphasis on that point. We're stopping the training so necessary to build those relationships. I'm disappointed that our government hasn't made relations with them a higher national priority. Even President Chavez expressed an interest in improved relations with the United States.
Senator, I'm happy to continue the discussion, but I really hope that you will not imply that I take the truth lightly.
No!
Are we going to have a new direction here? This critical part of the world, Senator Hagel mentioned immigration. No other issue. Vincente Fox, the one issue that he was hoping he'd get some resolution from over the last 4 years was on immigration. And nothing was done. One speech that I'm aware of, no legislation introduced, no effort up here to make a difference. It's a crippling economic problem here at home and a sore of continuing contention.
Senator, on behalf of our state and our nation, I really hope that you will refrain from impugning my integrity.
No!
Refrain from daunting my tyranny and hopelessness. America and the free world are once again engaged in a long-term struggle. An ideology of hatred and tyranny and terror. And we must confront these challenges with the same vision and the same boldness that dominated our post-Courage period.
I admire enormously your personal story, the road you've traveled. I admire your relationship with the president, which is obviously special, and he certainly has the right prerogative, as we all know, as president, to make choices. You are going to be confirmed, and everybody knows that, but without anything personal at all, whether or not it is with my vote, is yet to be determined.
Senator, I really hope that you will refrain from impugning my impunity.
No!
So the president tells the people there could be a weapon. 9 months later, you said no one ever said he could have a weapon in a year, when in fact the president said it.
America and the free world are once again engaged in a long-term struggle against an ideology of hatred and tyranny and terror and hopelessness.
On October 10th, 04, on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, 3 months ago, you were asked about CIA Director Tenet's remark that prior to the war, he had, quote, made it clear to the White House that he thought the nuclear weapons program was much weaker than the program to develop other WMDs.
We must confront these challenges. In these momentous times, America has great tasks. And American diplomacy has great tasks.
Your response was this. The intelligence assessment was that he was reconstituting his nuclear programs, that left unchecked, he would have a nuclear weapon by the end of the year. Here you are, contradicting the president and then contradicting yourself. It's hard for me to let go of this war because people are still dying.
And I grew up in the 60s. Well, not really. I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We didn't get the 60s, what? 1974. Got the 60s and disco the same week. Tie-dyed leisure suits. But I was forged in the crucible of the Vietnam War, right? So I was very anti-war, and this one turned me around. I mean, I know it's a different culture, but how do you... The rhetoric just went crazy. It was ratcheted so high. You had a madman screaming, "Your tanks will swim in a sea of eyeballs." I'm sorry, what? The snouts of many blind cave weasels will gnaw at your anal opening. And that was Bush. Oh, come on. You turned into President Rain Man before our very eyes. He has. It doesn't matter what you ask him anymore. Mr. President, what about the Social Security book? What about stem cell what about Medicare? Iraq. Yeah, definitely Iraq. Yeah, it's all Saddam, Saddam, yeah. Yeah, I'm an excellent warmonger. Yeah. Just ask my dad. Gotta use Qantas. Qantas, yeah. Sir, Mr. President, how much do you think this war is going to cost? About $100. Yeah, definitely. $100, yeah. Uh-oh, Wapner. Ah!
They figure $600 billion to rebuild Iraq over a 10-year period. $600 billion. You know how many Americans are? 280 million. Let's say 250 for arithmetic purposes. So that means every time you say $1 billion, that's $4 for every man, woman, and child in America. $4. So when you say $600 billion, that's 600 times four. $2,400 from every one of us to rebuild Iraq. I'm moving to Baghdad. Perform at the DC Improv East. They're not going to get the Uday joke. Uday, what is it? What is this big Latin? I do not understand. And how does our government, how does the administration plan on getting this $2,400 from every single one of us? With a tax cut. Well, the American people want a tax cut. Well, duh. The American people also want drive-through nickel beer night. The American people want to lose weight by eating ice cream. The American people chew off their own foot if Oprah told them there was liquid gold in their ankle veins. The American people require a warning label on their brake fluid so they don't swallow it. The American people love the Home Shopping Network because it's commercial free. American people got the same sense a guy gave a bucket of hair. We can't even conceive of suicide terrorists. Well, how do they get paid? No, I want it. What is it, like a union thing? They got an HMO? Because I'll tell you something, their dental sucks. But say what you will about Bush. I say a lot. Doesn't he look like a dog with water stuck in one ear? Say what you will about Bush, man. He has managed to reunite France and Germany. Russia and China are holding hands. He is a uniter, not a divider or a multiplier. We got the French accusing us of imperialism. South Africa's threatening sanctions. And the German justice minister called Bush's tactics Hitler-like. Let me repeat that. German just Bush hit. We just got called a Nazi by Germany. That's not good.
I looked that one up too. That's not good. Like having your drug intervention hosted by Robert Downey Jr. and Daryl Strawberry's driving the van. Whitney Houston slumped over registration. Bobby Brown pawing through her purse. You know, they call it a coalition. But we all know it's not a coalition. It's 140,000 Americans, 200 Brits, and one Aussie to keep the beer cold, and that's about it. You got Blair and you got Bush, and you couldn't have two more divergent personalities. You know, you listen to Blair. We fervently believe and extremely confident that our contention that Saddam possesses voluminous amounts of weapons of mass destruction will eventually be borne out to a decidedly drastic degree. And then you hear Bush, bring it on! Either you're with us or you're against us. Come on! Who wants a piece of me? It's like good cop, drunk cowboy cop. I keep waiting for Bush to put a stone in his boot and walk around calling people pilgrim. I mean, the Canadian Prime Minister's Director of Communications called Bush a moron. Did you see that? Moron. I've heard international insults before. They're usually tinged with a tone of diplomacy. Yes, well, we're not sure. We're thinking that, you know, he might be not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Moron! It's not even politically correct. I don't think it's right. I think he's special. He's our special commander-in-chief. He attended Yale on the little bus. What's wrong with that? This is the land of opportunity.
Westside skyline crying for an angel dying, risk a life to make a dime. Lifetime spent on the streets of the city, make us the people we are.
Have been listening to a special Inner Side Inaugumentation Intermission Coronation Ceremony special. And we'll be back next week to continue Mark Twain's Mysterious Stranger. The last thing you heard was Will Durst, who has joined the Compassionate Conservative Comedy Players, CCCP, out of WBAI. Thanks for that. Music by The Beach Boys, Bela Fleck, dueling banjos, The Roaches, Hallelujah Chorus, King Crimson, SpongeBob SquarePants, a little help from Harry Shearer on the Roberto Gonzalez Rubber Stamp Remix, lead vocals by George W. Bush. See y'all next week.